Carter, local artist, recent survivor. Crazy.
It is crazy.
Are you from Seattle originally?
I was born in Rochester, New York, and my family moved out here right before I turned two, around 99, 2000.
So basically,
you could say that I'm a Seattleite, yeah.
What's your musical background, and who are your greatest musical inspiration?
Wow, that is a huge question. A lot of my music inspiration comes from growing up listening to rock and roll, listening to folk music. One of my dad's favorite artists, James Taylor, has been very impactful in my life and in my music. Honestly, I might even say my dad. Like, growing up, he would always sing me to sleep, singing lullabies, and in particular, James Taylor songs as well. And I think hearing his voice on a regular basis as I would go to sleep really got me interested in music.
What was your first gig as a musician in Seattle?
Are we talking like professional gig, or are we saying like any public performance?
Any public performance.
Okay, so I grew up actually busking at Seattle festivals like Folklife, sometimes Bumbershoot down at Pike Place Market, stuff like that. I'd just bring up my guitar, open up the case and sing, play some chords. I went to elementary school at Summit K-12, and I did the assembly performances, and I played some classical guitar for the entire audience, which at that age was entirely terrifying. It was probably like a 500 people seating auditorium. But if we're talking real, not to say real, but a professional venue, I was super blessed and invited to play a show out in Hong Kong with my friend Wilson, who goes by Squeak. He just invited me. He flew out me and my friend Nick, and we played this incredible show in a different country to people who didn't know anything about our music. So that was kind of weird, like,
wow,
trying to catch their attention.
What was the genre of music you were playing then?
Urban contemporary is what I would call it.
So he had the opportunity, and then he sort of got you to tag along, or?
Yeah, so he's actually a local from Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
And he had like this, I guess you could say, fan base out there. He wanted to put a show on, so he asked me and Nick, and we were very happy to accept the request, of course.
How would you categorize your music now?
Right now it's urban contemporary. I would keep the same classification. I did get kind of caught up in the whole rap thing. I'm a person in recovery. And when I was in rehab, I got super introduced and interested in rap music and getting out. I wanted to be what was cool. And I had all these people who I looked up to who were super interested in rap and hip-hop. So I started rapping and getting into that music. But as the years went on, after I was out and I was developing more of who I am as a person, I realized that I can create what I want to create, and whatever comes from my soul is what it's going to be. It's not going to be what everybody thinks is cool. So I've adjusted, you could say. Now it's kind of a combination of hip-hop, pop, R&B, really just all over the place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some odd kind of alternative music.
We worked on a song together that you actually wrote in rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you sharing how that experience opened up time for reflection, and your songwriting began to flourish. How have you seen any correlation between the incident and the music you are working on now? Mm. And if you don't mind recapping the incident for those in the audience who don't know what that was.
The question is how the incident influenced my music?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So to recap on the accident, I had been working at Canlis for probably 3 or 4 months, I was training a new coworker of mine who had been there on his fourth day at the time. And we have a row of closets that are right next to Aurora, the street. We stepped out onto the sidewalk to go to the closet that holds the mats to lay them down for the kitchen so all the cooks can have the non-slip mats. And I stepped out and I looked to my left and I saw a Prius pull onto the sidewalk, speed up to 60 miles per hour. And after that, I blacked out, but I've been told that I flew 35 feet through the air, hit some trees, fell down. Thankfully, stayed conscious the whole time. A friend of mine who I mentioned earlier, Wilson, who goes by Squeak, he told me he was doing research on brain injury stuff, and if I had lost consciousness in that experience, I would not be here right now. So somehow my brain stayed awake, and I'm alive. It's a miracle. In terms of my music, it's been very interesting because I've had a lot of thoughts about whether or not my brain has been permanently changed, and I guess you could say a self-conscious. I've been worried thinking about if I'm a completely different person and I'm not even aware of it. So I think, like, in regards of music, it's changed my perspective entirely. In regards of life, it's changed my perspective entirely.
Something you did say in a conversation we had recently is that you're starting to think about what makes your music authentically you.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you were doing rap because you thought that's what was cool, what people would listen to. Would you agree that your near-death experience has something to do with your recommitment to yourself on doing what it is that makes you happy musically and not just what pleases the crowd? Oh, I do music for myself and I hope it helps someone. I don't do music to make other people like me or think I'm cool.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the passenger in the car that hit me passed away, and I recently went to her funeral or memorial. What her stepson told me was, I have a gift, essentially, and if I throw that away, it's a disgrace, you know?
Musically?
Or
just the fact that you even went?
The fact that I survived.
Okay.
If I take this gift of life that I've been given, that his stepmom was not given, and was too early taken away. At least the way I took it was that would be disrespectful to myself, to her life, and I have the ability to create an art that people can relate to and hear, and it's a place of hope. And if I have the ability to give that and I don't give it to people, what does that make me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think after the accident, I'm more aware. I now have a motivation. I value what I have in terms of life and in terms of music a lot more than I did before. And I think the importance of getting it out there while I still can is on a much higher scale.
Mm-hmm. How long were you unconscious for?
Well, physically, my body stayed awake, but my blackout or memory is probably from right before the Prius hit me until, I would guess, 2 to 4 days in the hospital. I remember comparing my blackout to what death would feel like and waking up from that, and thinking that the real reason why I'm here is to impact and help the people around me. Because if I had passed away in that moment, I don't think that I wouldn't have felt good, I wouldn't have felt bad, I wouldn't have felt anything. It would just be gone, and it's all okay. But the one thing that would matter is how I impacted the people around me. And how many people came to the hospital to visit me just shows it in numbers, you know? My entire family, like all of my friends from home, were all visiting, and it's hard for me to see in myself what other people see in me, and seeing all these people come visit me in the hospital really brought an awareness to that. Like, if I had passed away in that moment, this would have changed all of these people's lives. And even if I'm okay, I'm on the other side, you know, and there's just, it's just a content nothing, and I don't experience pain or happiness, it's all over, all these people would still be affected for the rest of their lives, because I know, like, the loved ones who I've lost are still in my heart, you know, that still affects me to today.
Do you feel like this experience has motivated you to work harder, taught you to take a step back, inspired you to put your trauma in your music?
The motivation to use what I've been given is more there than it has been in a long time. And making music specifically about the accident is difficult for me because I tend to push things down a whole lot, you know? But with something like this, I think it's something that there's a lot of people in the world who can relate to it.
So you feel like the fact that it was, like, validated as hard for you has given you some stuff to work on, but you're not there yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that I need to cover.
Yeah.
And I've been pushing it all, like, way back, which I think is natural in terms of something like this happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To an extent, but I definitely need to uncover a lot of that.
And do you feel like the way to do that is through your music or a different way?
Yeah. I would say music is my number one medium in terms of processing any problem.
Are you coming out with any new songs?
I am, actually. I've been working on for a while, starting before the accident, on a new EP called Everything's Fantastic. And the idea behind Everything's Fantastic is everything is not fantastic. It's kind of a play with sarcasm, but there's songs including Bloodlines, which touches my own experience with self-harm and mental institutions. There's FINE, an acronym which stands for Fucked Up, Insecure, Neurotic, and Emotional, and a couple other songs that are all relating towards covering up pain and I guess you could say traumatic lives with a mask, acting like everything is okay.
And that was before the incident?
Both. So it started before, and it's been continuing afterwards.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a double on perspective. It has, like, before the accident and also...
When is that going to be released?
No set release date yet. I'm hoping sometime midsummer. Probably around early August, hopefully.
Great. Nice. If you could say one thing to the driver, what would you say?
One thing. There's a lot of different one things that I would like to say. One of them would be, everybody makes mistakes. One of them would ask, why? Overall, I think I would just want them to know that anything you do in your daily life can impact somebody else on a major level that you have no conception of whatsoever. And I would just ask that they become aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you do can change somebody's life.
Well, thanks for opening up like this. I like to end all my interviews with a question. If you could identify with one affirmation, what would it be?
Indulge and enjoy life.
Yeah?
Appreciate what you've been given. Mm. Make the best of it. We're not here to be bored.
And that's coming from someone who's been sober for...
4 years and 8 months.
Yeah.
Take pride in what you have to offer. Be a part of your community. Just overall, be happy.
Thank you.